You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
Hand across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Masita, a.k.a. the Provolone Ranger. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 283. Woo! My voice is going a little bit, so my woo was a little bit lower pitched than I wanted to there. Anyway, on today's sode, the Knicks tank it up against the despicable, terrible, no-good Orlando Magic, losing to the tune of 97-73. I'm going to revel in some choice Frank highlights. I had trouble saying the word highlights with a straight face while describing this game. But yes, there were some choice Frank highlights. I can't promise that I will not kiss my fingers Italian chef style. I'm going to give Kyle O'Quinn some props for a fistful of blocks. Then I'm going to take you guys through the game quarter by quarter, sharing observations in the flow of the game, as it were. Wait, come back. I know what you're thinking. You're like, I don't want to relive this garbage. But here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pull a magic trick right out of my bee by making this fun. I'm gonna make a recap of this terrible game. Fun. Impossible, you say? To which I say, to quote Satan himself, the Dark Lord, anything is possible! Let's start the show. Hit it, Marv.
Yes.
Troy Williams is out, of course, with a fractured jaw. So the starting lineup for this one was Burke, Frank, Tim, Lance, and Kyle. All right, let's start with the first quarter. Early on in the first quarter, Frank had an outlet pass to Kyle O'Quinn that was too strong. He tried to lead him on the break, threw it out of bounds, gave me flashbacks to Charles Oakley. Love you, Oak, but you knew you loved that outlet pass. And sometimes you put a little too much muscle behind it because you were brolic. I actually wrote this one down because I'm not sure I've seen Frank misread a fancy pass like that all season. Worth noting, right? He's had some like boneheaded turnovers, but usually when he goes for the home run, you're like, whoo! There we go. Got the whoo going now. But usually when he goes for that home run, he hits it. So it was a little bit strange that he didn't hear, but I wanted to write that down. And early on in the first quarter, you could also see that Frank's shot was not falling. Which, you know, Frank, he kind of goes one game on, one game off, and he was out with an illness, real or not, the last game. So you kind of had to figure that he'd be a little rusty, and it probably would not be his best shooting game. And what do you know, it was not his best shooting game, at least early in the first. Who knows what's going to happen later? Spoiler alert. He had a bad shooting game. The good news, though, is he followed his shot on a missed corner three and hit Kyle O'Quinn for a sweet little assist, a sweet little dish under the basket. So, like to look for positives, even when our young guys aren't doing everything right. That was a positive. Missed a shot, followed his shot, made the right play, got some buckets for the Knicks. The good news early on was that the Orlando Magic, looked like bumbling fools. They had something like 7,000 turnovers in the first 5 minutes, and it seemed to kind of infect the entire garden. The refs blew the whistle. It seemed weird. They're like, why did they blow the whistle? There was no foul there. They stopped play in the first quarter to sweep up popcorn that some bozo had spilled everywhere. They showed him, and he was in this like ridiculous patterned suit. Looked like a clown. And Clyde even quipped, fans stumbling and bumbling with popcorn. Indeed, Clyde. Indeed. Jarrett Jack was mic'd up in this one, which was like manna from heaven for me. You know I've been a big fan of his get it, Ennis, that I realized he'd been doing about halfway through the season. And sure enough, early on, Ennis Kanter, still not playing, out with, you know, a bruised back, perhaps tankitis. Although, no, I would say tankitis, because they think he's good for winning, unfortunately. So who knows why Kanter's really out. But we got Jarrett Jack mic'd up, and because Kanter was not there, he shouted, "Get it, KO! Get it, KO!" to Kyle O'Quinn, who was beasting early. He even said, "Eat glass, KO!" which I liked. He's like, "Eat glass!" talking about getting rebounds, but also eating glass is a pretty gnarly feat, right? It's a manly feat. He even called Kyle O'Quinn a blocking tight end, which had me rolling on the floor laughing. A stark contrast to the snooze fest appearance of Ron Baker from earlier on this week. I think if we ever have an ex-Nick in the booth to replace Clyde, God forbid, maybe we should look at Jarrett Jack. I don't know. Ron Baker was just so boring. Although he could maybe be in a good buddy comedy with Jarrett Jack. That could have some legs, like the opposites attract kind of thing. And it's been bothering me. It's been bothering me that Ron Baker claims that he likes to cook and can only name grilling and pasta. So, Ron Baker, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm a great cook. I like to cook. I just made a delicious Easter pie this past Sunday. Made the crust homemade. You wouldn't know anything about that. I challenge you, Ron Baker, to a cook-off. You choose the dish. You choose the place. You choose the time. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to whoop you. Anyway, Hardaway was attacking in transition and off the dribble early in this one. I wrote down in all caps, "runaway freight train in a good way" in my notes. So early on in the contest, Hardaway was doing his part to be aggressive to the rim. We like to see him start aggressive. I like to see him shoot a lot of threes. And sure, if it's open, flow of the game, take it. But I like him to start aggressive, get the ball in the hole, get that, you know, feeling that the basket's a big old bucket. And like the ball's just going to fall in there, right? So that was good to see. Burke, in the first quarter, looked very patient on offense, probing the defense. At one point, he got under the basket, but I forget which defender was down there, maybe Biombo. There was a big defender draped all over him. So rather than try to kind of like force it, he had position. He could have tried to draw the foul, but he pulled it back out, actually, and I liked it in that moment. I thought that was the right play. Cornette in the first quarter didn't do anything that good. Had two quick fouls and a missed three. Three-point shot, still not falling. I think he's got a good three-point shot, but man, he is not showing it. And he's not someone who's going to get a ton of chances to show it. There was some good ball movement in the first quarter, believe it or not, based on the final score. The Knicks were actually okay offensively in the first half. There was another around-the-horn special where the ball was whipped around the perimeter, led to a wide-open corner three from Lance. This was one of three wide-open corner threes that Lance Thomas would miss in the first quarter. I want to talk about something Moutier did in the first quarter, a sequence of unfortunate events. It actually started off okay. He got switched with Cornette's man, so Moutier was guarding the big, Cornette was guarding the little. The big in this case was Biombo. And at the first opportunity, Moutier, aware that this was a bad switch, made Cornette switch back with him, which I loved. Because this is something that's driven me crazy over the years. Past few years of the Knicks have just like hit bottom. They don't do that shit. When someone switches off, they just leave it for the rest of the possession, even if they have a chance to switch back. Frank is great at this, does this every time he gets caught in a bad switch. Moutier did it here, I liked it. But then, as Moutier was switching back to his guy, off of Biombo into whoever he was guarding, I forget who it was at this point, he didn't see his man and the ball. He was ball watching. And the ball handler whipped a pass to Moutier's guy. Oh, I have it in my notes here. It was Mac, who sucks, by the way. Not a tough guy to keep track of. Mac was standing in the corner for an open three that he nailed. And it was just infuriating because, like, how are you going to fight to switch back to the right guy and then lose that guy? Like, how do you have that first defensive awareness, but then not the follow-up to actually, like, you're switching back to guard the guy, Emmanuel. not to let him shoot a wide open three. I know you know this, and I'm being a little bit of a dick, but it was an infuriating play. Story of the first quarter, shooting-wise, was the Knicks did a lot of good things, specifically Hardaway driving the ball and getting buckets at the rim, but they could not buy a bucket from downtown. They were 0 of 8 from downtown in the first quarter, and Orlando was 4 of 8. Are we having fun yet? To quote the great Party Down, are we having fun yet? I want to take you guys through second quarter thoughts, including some beautiful plays from Frank, some of my favorite plays from Frank this season. First, I got to talk to you guys about something a little bit more serious. If you or a loved one lived in, worked in, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the September 11th attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available to you. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits from the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act, which is what allows you to access these federal benefits and health care, has been extended, but time is unfortunately limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family. Let him help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but for anyone who qualifies, and the fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast cancer. Please call 1-800-LAW-HELP. That's 1-800-LAW-HELP to see if you qualify. To the second quarter we go! We start the second quarter with what on any other night would be like my Frank highlight of the night and possibly my Frank highlight of the week. Frank blocked Bismack Biyombo from behind on a dunk attempt without fouling him. Holy shit. Now, Kristaps is the unicorn on the Knicks and perhaps the unicorn on the league. But when Frank starts doing this kind of thing, D'ing up guys in the post, blocking Bismack Biyombo from behind without fouling him on a two-handed dunk attempt, that's some serious unicorn shit. And that's the kind of thing that's going to make Frank super valuable, whether or not he remains a prototypical point guard. Tremendous block from Frank. But then, he wasn't done. He was like, look what I'm going to do. You like what I do defensively, right? Check out this shit. Excuse my Italian, I'm sorry. Try to keep this a family program. So, second quarter, early. Frank drives the lane. Does a little kind of like, he's doing a little mini kind of crossover. He's dancing a little bit. On the left elbow, right? He's dancing. I'm like, he's feeling it. What's he gonna do? He kind of fakes left, goes right. He's driving right, fakes a pass behind his back. The guy bit so hard, like almost fell over. Frank had a wide open layup, and it was one of the most beautiful dribble drives I've seen from a Knick all season. A real like highlight reel. Highlight reel play. Jarrett Jack, who was mic'd up, was like, "Woo-hoo-hoo! And I couldn't agree more, Jarrett Jack. I could not agree more. Frank is pulling out a bag of tricks. And it prompted Breen to say, and I got to agree, lots of players show flashes when they're this young. Let's remember, youngest player in the NBA this season. But Frank's flashes are special. There are signs that he can be a superb player. And we know he's not doing it consistently, but if he's got that in his bag of tricks, looking mad confident, he's just figuring out the game. He's young, he's deferring to grown-ass, scary-ass men like Kyle O'Quinn barking curses in a language that's not, you know, original to Frank. Not his native language. He's got a big beard. He's got muscles. He's screaming at you. I don't know why I'm thinking on Kyle O'Quinn like that. But, I mean, he's going to put it all together. I've been saying it since day one, and he didn't disappoint. He also had a nice hustle play in this one, as Frank does. He dove on the floor for a loose ball after Kyle O'Quinn blocked the S out of someone's shot. And then he got called for a BS second foul. Frank, that is. and took a seat. So that was it for him from the second quarter, right when he was cooking. If we can get Frank cooking and not in foul trouble for like a whole game, I'm really curious to see what could happen. Kyle LaCoyne in this quarter, just mentioned one of his ferocious blocks. He had at least two in this quarter, but it felt like 8,000. He was just putting dents in the backboard. Jarrett Jack, still mic'd up. This was an interesting thing that happened in the second quarter. At one point, Burke fell down, but he kept his dribble. He was like dribbling while he was on the ground, and then he kicked it out for an open three to Hardaway. He nailed it. And Breed and Clyde said it was something that Curly Neal used to do. A globetrotter, if you're not familiar with who Curly Neal is. I figured it was a globetrotter move when they said Curly Neal, because I was like, oh, I've seen that before. But I had no idea who Curly Neal was. And then at halftime, this happened in the second quarter, so that's why I'm including it here, they played some of the mic'd up clips, and Jack was shouting while Burke was doing this, Curly Neal! Curly Neal! Now that is a student of the game. Knowing globetrotter names? Come on, that's impossible. Make this guy the coach. I want Jarrett Jack coaching next year. Burke had a good second quarter. He hit a three, then a pull-up two off the pick and roll, then a driving baseline fader. The dude can shoot. And I give him more leeway to shoot from the mid-range because it's a little tougher for a little guy like him to finish around the rim with his size. As long as he doesn't overdo it, Burke, you got a hall pass to make a couple more mid-range shots per game than some of these other guys. Dotson, a couple notes on him before we get to the third quarter. He had a nice drive and dish to Hicks, using strength to gain separation, using his shoulder to kind of subtly move his guy off of him, gain a little bit of space in the paint in order to make the nice dish to Hicks. But then he missed a reverse jam on a nice pass from Kyle LaQuinn. Not too much doing from Dotson in this one, but I thought that first play that I mentioned was of note. He showed good poise, a tight handle, good strength, and good awareness and vision on that one play. Let's talk about the third quarter. Kyle LaQuinn gets his fifth block a minute into the third. He just had insanely good timing in this one from a blocking standpoint. But then he did something almost immediately afterward. So basically, Kyle LaQuinn, a defensive possession or two after that fifth block, he was bitching and moaning about not getting a foul call. And a fast break developed the other way. Meanwhile, Lance Teacher's pet Thomas hustled back and deflected the ball by sticking his arms out, which is something that almost no one does when they're running back. It's almost like he's a defensive back in football trying to, like, you know, cover the pass. He doesn't even see the ball sometimes, but he sticks his arm out in case he might be able to deflect the ball. It takes energy to do that, so not everyone does that. Lance Thomas does that. I'll give him props for that. And he deflected the ball. And you could hear, it was so quiet in the garden. Mike and Clyde were talking about it all game. And you could hear Hornacek screaming, "Good job, Lance! Good job, Lance!" over and over again. Like it was his favorite life moment after like the birth of his first child. Of course, Lance Thomas being Lance Thomas. Next time down, missed a hilarious out-of-control Lance Thomas layup. But what are you going to do? That's the Lance Thomas experience. Let's talk about three. Frank. He had an open three on the left wing off a nice cross-court pass from Hardaway. But Thomas had an even more opener three above the break. And Frank did the right thing and dished it off, even though I didn't want to watch Lance launch another three in this one. And Lance canned it. So that was good ball movement, I thought. Also, perhaps Frank recognizing that it wasn't his game in terms of shooting. He's like, here you go. This is an even more wide open three for you. Lance Thomas, I love when you pass up the good shot for the great shot, and that's what this was. It's a tricky balancing act trying to stay aggressive when you talk about passing up the good shot for the great shot. That's why not everyone can be a pro basketball player. It's difficult. You're making these split-second decisions, right? Ball movement play of the game, in my opinion. There weren't a lot of great ones, but rounding out some Frank notes from the third quarter. Frank ran a nice pick and roll with Lance Thomas. He hit Lance Thomas with a nifty pocket pass. Lance drew the help defender and found a cutting Kyle LaQuinn along the baseline for the jam. for the yam. So that was my ball movement play of the game. But yeah, Frank, to round out notes, can't buy a bucket in this one. He missed an open layup off a nice feed from Tim, unfortunately. What are you going to do, right? Burke nailed a couple more mid-range jumpers out of the high pick and roll in the third quarter. That's his bread and butter. We've seen him pull up off that pick and roll numerous times. He seems like he can't miss from out there. A weird play, an interesting play you don't see all the time. Courtney Lee blocked a three-pointer of a guy he was guarding straight up. Like, the dude was just like, I'm dribbling. Courtney Lee's like, I see you. I'm guarding you. He pulled up to shoot, and Courtney Lee's just like, no, and he swatted it. It's a good job, Courtney Lee. But bad job, Knicks. Sloppy third quarter from the Knicks with six turnovers. The Magic sucked so bad that they only took a six-point lead in the third, which was the biggest lead of any team of the night at that point. But against a good team, the Knicks might have gone down by 20 at this point. Partially because Jamel Artis, who was on their summer league roster, had the Jamel Artis revenge game. He drained what felt like a million threes. I don't know what his final numbers were, but he scored very efficiently in not that many minutes. He was killing them from downtown. They couldn't find Jamel Artis. And last third quarter note, Moutier, I think I could take Moutier off the dribble. I really do. I'm fat and slow. I'm old. My knees are shot. But he just lets guys blow by him. There was one play where he let a guy blow by him. The help defense picked up his man. He rotated over to the guy who the help defense rotated off of. And then that guy drove by him too. And I swear to God, a third guy might have driven by him on that same play. It was like, I've never seen anything like it. Moutier just lets anyone get by him. Anyone. I think I could do it. I challenge Ron Baker to a cook-off, and I challenge Moutier. I think I can drive past you. I want to talk about the fourth quarter very briefly. Oh, so briefly. But first, I want to remind you guys that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Leave a couple sentence review. Someone left a review today, or I don't know if it was today, but the most recent review, which I loved, he was like, you started off kind of rocky and weird, but man, have you improved. And that's what I'm saying. I'm doing my best, but I could always improve. So let me know what you like. Let me know constructively what you think you might want to, like, maybe hear more of. I don't know. Head on over. iTunes. 5 stars. Review. Thank you very much. Locked On Knicks. Couple of notes on Frank in the fourth quarter. He missed his first shot. I was like, okay, so this is going to keep going. And that upped his ledger to 1 for 8 on the night, at which point Clyde called him Neela Kenner. Truly the low point for Frank this evening. But then, shortly thereafter, he hit Cornette under the basket with a tough pass. Cornette was being fronted by a smaller defender, and Frank put the ball where only Luke could get it. Not an easy pass to make. You gotta do it high enough that the guy who's fronting him, who's not, like, tiny, but smaller than Cornette, can't get to it, can't jump and intercept it. He knows the pass is coming. But not too high that Luke Cornette, who has no real hops to speak of, doesn't lose it either. A nice job by Frank there. Hicks, I thought was interesting, did a serviceable job guarding Mack on a switch. So interesting to see that from the big fella. Would love to see him be mobile out in space guarding smaller perimeter players on the switch. That's always a nice positive thing to see from your big man, right? But Knicks can't buy a bucket still. I wrote down Brick City. At this point, the Magic went up by 13. Breen was giving Tankathon updates. He's like, Chicago is actually leading the... You know, when Breen's getting deep in the tank, that things are over. And things were indeed over. The Knicks scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. 16 in the third for a robust 28 second half points. And that's really all we need to talk about, right? Shared some notes. Saw some interesting things. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this sode. And that's it for us tonight. That's it for us for Locked On Knicks. Thank you very much for listening. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Tell your friends about it. Tell your bodega guys about it. Tell your mail people about it. Tell, like, Optimum when you call them up. And you're like, my internet's too expensive. What the fuck? Also, Locked On Knicks is sweet. You should check it out. Tell everyone you come across about Locked On Knicks. It helps us grow. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks. Follow me on Twitter at NBA Injury Report. Jokes and jokes and jokes and jokes. Be chill to each other. right? Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. And have a good rest of your day. We'll be back tomorrow. Peace!